Hare Krishna devotees.
Hare Krishna.
How nice to be here with you after several months. Very nice to have your association. Yes. But we will today read a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we'll read chapter 15, The Yoga of the Supreme Person, text 1, 2, 3, and 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 I hope everyone will be able to hear me. I have a sort of a cold. My voice is not strong and there's no sound system and a little competition from other sounds. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Urdhva Mula Madashaka Ashvatam Prahur Avyayam Chidamsi Yasya Parnani Yastam Veda Savedavit. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. And verse 2. Adaschurdvam prasritastasya shaka guna pravrida vishaya pravala adaschamulan yanusantatani karmanu bandini manushya loke. The branches of this tree extend downward and upward, nourished by the three modes of material nature. The twigs are the objects of the senses. This tree also has roots going down, and these are bound to the fruit of actions of human society. And then verses 3 and 4 together. Narupamas yeha tatopalabhyate nantona chadir na sampratishta ashvatam enam suvirudamulam asangashastrena dridena chitva tatapadam tat parimargitavyam yasmingata na nivartanti buya tam eva chadyam purusham prapadye yata pravritti prasrita purani. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, One must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began, and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. Let us read the purport here by Srila Prabhupada. It is now clearly stated that the real form of this banyan tree cannot be understood in this material world. Since the root is upwards, the extension of the real tree is at the other end. When entangled with the material expansions of the tree, one cannot see how far the tree extends, nor can one see the beginning of this tree. Yet, one has to find out the cause. I am the son of my father. My father is the son of such and such a person, etc. By searching in this way, one comes to Brahma, who is generated by the Garbhadakshai Vishnu. Finally, in this way, when one reaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the end of research work. One has to search out that origin. One has to search out that origin of this tree, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through the association of persons who are in knowledge of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, by understanding, one becomes gradually detached from this false reflection of reality, and by knowledge, one can cut off the connection and actually become situated in the real tree. The word asanga is very important in this connection, because the attachment for sense enjoyment and lording it over the material nature is very strong. Therefore, one must learn detachment by discussion of spiritual science based on authoritative scriptures, and one must hear from persons who are actually in knowledge. As a result of such discussion in the association of devotees, one comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, the first thing one must do is surrender to Him. The description of that place, whence, having gone, one never returns to this false reflected tree, is given here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the original root from whom everything has emanated. To gain favor of that Personality of Godhead, one has only to surrender. And this is a result of performing devotional service by hearing, chanting, etc. He is the cause of the extension of the material world. This has already been explained by the Lord Himself. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. Bhagavad Gita chapter 10 verse 8. I am the origin of everything. Therefore, to get out of the entanglement of the strong banyan tree of material life, one must surrender to Krishna. As soon as one surrenders unto Krishna, one becomes detached automatically from this material extension. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bastichyade Shtarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasali Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. How nice to be back with you all in Port Elizabeth. And I hope you're all happy in Krishna consciousness. Hope nobody is in Maya. You okay? Mataji? No problems. Krishna consciousness means all questions answered, all problems solved. And here in these four verses, Lord Krishna is talking about the situation that we're all in this material world. And to help us understand, he's giving a very interesting and vivid type of example. The example of the reflected banyan tree. There is a banyan tree, big tree, standing right on the edge of a body of water, a lake, something of that sort. Right on the edge. And in that body of water, there is the reflection of that banyan tree. And if you look at the reflection, then you'll see everything in the real tree is there. It's just practically down to the finest detail. Everything is there. Nothing is missing. So a person may think, oh, very nice. Here's this banyan tree in the water. Let me pick one flower and smell it from the reflection. So, well, I think we can understand. If you try to pick the flower out of the reflection, you'll see there's nothing. You just get some water. If you try to pick a fruit out of that banyan tree, it may look very nice and rich and colorful, but you try to pick the fruit and there's nothing there, just some water. So the reflection, it looks the same. It really looks the same. But there's no substance. And this is the example Lord Krishna is giving here in these four verses to illustrate what is this material world in comparison with the spiritual world. In other words, the material world, the reflection of the spiritual world, it looks just like the eternal spiritual world. But there are two problems, really. Two problems. One is, even though it looks just like that spiritual world, but it has no substance, it just looks good. That's all. Looks impressive. That's one problem. The second problem is everything is upside down. And everything is all mixed up, like when you look when you look in a mirror, then you think, oh, there I am. But there you are not. Because in the mirror, in the reflection, your right-hand side in the reflection is now your left-hand side. And your left-hand side is now your right-hand side. So, it looks good, but actually everything's around the wrong way. That's when you look in a mirror, and then of course in the reflection of the tree, what is at the top in the real tree is at the bottom in the reflection. So, this is the nature of this material world, and this is the nature of life in the material world. But unfortunately, people get very confused. People in general are very confused. And they think, looking at the reflection, they think we are going to find that which we are looking for. Ultimately, that which we are looking for means eternal, perfect relationship with the eternal, perfect person. So people are looking for that in this material world. How can I find the perfect relationship with the perfect person? But, so you know what I mean, you know how it works. A young woman's looking for a young man who will just be that perfect hero. And the young man is looking for the young lady who will just be the topmost angel. But it doesn't work very well, does it? One ends up with someone and, you know, of course they have some good points, but they also have some bad points. And no matter how nice the relationship is, after some years you die, and it's lost anyway, even if it was relatively nice. So like this, the material world is, you could say, tantalizing people. Sometimes Prabhupada would give the example of the mirage in the desert. Someone's struggling in the desert and they are just completely dry with thirst, and then there's some sort of phenomenon, they think they see water and it spurs them on, a little further, just over that sand hill, and then there'll be nice water. But it's not. So this is material life. Everyone is looking for something which appears like it will be available, but actually it's not really available. We're looking, it is available, but not here. It's available elsewhere in the spiritual world when we enter our eternal relationship with Krishna. Then it's available. It's readily available. But here, even though it looks good and promising and attractive, but it cannot really deliver what we are looking for. Because it's just a reflection. And you can imagine, just imagine if you wanted to marry someone, and they said, well, no, you can't marry me, but you can marry my reflection in the mirror. You can marry my reflection. It would not work, would it? You cannot have a relationship, really, with just a reflection. You need the real thing. Prabhupada gave an interesting example. You may have heard. One gentleman drove at night into his garage in Malabar, and there were no lights in the garage, and he got out of the car, and somehow in the dark he dropped his keys in the garage in Malabar, and he's trying to look, but it's completely dark, and he couldn't find the keys. Then he looked out the door, out onto the street, and there was a street light out by the road. And so he thought, oh, let me look there. So he went out, and he was now looking under the street light. And one of his friends drove by and saw him there on the street, looking around under that street light, and asked him, what are you looking for? And the man said, I dropped my keys. And the friend said, oh, you dropped them out here, did you? Gosh, really? And the man said, no, I dropped them in the garage up there. So why are you looking here? Because here there is light. So all we can see is this material world at this point. It's all we can really see generally. And therefore we think, well, let us look here. We can find happiness and very nice relationships within this world. But we're looking in the wrong place. Looking in the reflection. So, and like we said, what is at the top in the real tree being the spiritual world, at the top is Radha and Krishna. In the reflection, the top is at the bottom. So, in the reflection, in this material world, the thing which separates people from Krishna more than anything, and entangles people in this world more than anything, is the relationship between male and female. People just get completely carried away and locked into material existence. So, there's further description. There's description in the other purports we didn't read. But one other point is that the tree is standing there, the real tree, and the reflection is there in the water. But the real tree and the reflection meet at the root. If you follow what I mean. They meet at the root. There's some sort of commonality, some sort of critical connection, but we have to get the connection right. So the root is desire. If you get the desire, the correct desire, then you can progress, become nicely situated in the reality, the real tree of the spiritual world. If you get your desires wrong, then you get entangled in the tree, in the reflection of the tree. So it's a very tricky situation, actually, in this material world. Very tricky. And we see how optimistic people are, how enthusiastic they are, to just dive into material existence and just work hard and try to accumulate, and in this way try to become happy. But if we take a person like a very, very wealthy person, I don't know, who's the most wealthy person in PE? Is it someone from Malabar? Or maybe it's Mr. Greenacres. Or if you take someone who's really wealthy, like Bill Gates or one of these types of people. But you see, if you had some sort of measuring device, a meter, for measuring happiness somehow. You know, we can measure our weight, our blood pressure, our sugar, our heart functions, etc., etc. So many things we can measure. But what about measuring our happiness? So, but if you had such a measuring device, do you think that Mr. Bill Gates, with all his billions, would be proportionately happier than we are with our whatever we have, few rands? Do you think so? Well, of course, we don't have such a measuring device. But at least, you know, by looking at a person and seeing how they live and what they're going through in life, we can get some idea of how happy they are to whatever degree. And it appears to us that the rich, rich people, they are not proportionately happier than we are, despite their proportionately much greater resources for supposedly getting happiness, like their ability to purchase enjoyable things. So it's all part of this concept that the material world is misleading and it shouldn't be taken as seriously as people think. Seriously in the sense that we may have expectations for enjoyment, etc., etc., nice relationships. So really what we need to do then, that as is described here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, and Krishna of course mentions in the last verse, is that we need to surrender to Krishna. And through the process, there's a whole process of surrendering to Krishna. Through surrendering to Krishna, then we'll get two things. One is we'll get detachment from this world that we'll see very clearly and we'll feel very clearly that what is this material world? You know, it's not really so good. And just like, take myself as an example. It may be an interesting example. When I was young, well, I was, as they say, I was born on a beach. I don't mean I was born on a beach. But we lived by a beach. And we're just by the beach. And then, you know, we were just by the beach. And then I got involved in Krishna consciousness and I realized. And sometimes we would hear devotees saying, when I came down to Durban about 30 years ago, devotees would say, yeah, let's go to the beach. And honestly, I was thinking the beach, you know. I've done it. I've done the beach. Let's do something else. Or some devotees, not so much, but some people definitely, they're very much into motor cars. I was also one of those people. I was also not only born on a beach, I was born in a motor car. My father was a motoring fanatic, total motoring fanatic. So sometimes we hear people say, yes, some Ferrari, Rolls Royce, and people think, oh, very good. But after you've been a devotee a little while, then you feel, as long as we get from A to B in one piece, you know, and like that, it's okay. It doesn't really matter so much. So this is detachment. We should develop detachment. And here in the purport, Prabhupada's saying, we develop detachment through, Prabhupada says, one must learn detachment by discussion of spiritual science based on authoritative scriptures. And one must hear from persons who are actually in knowledge. So we must surrender to Krishna and, in other words, try to serve Krishna and not be, you know, too much heavily involved in activities just to maintain ourselves like that. But we should really try to give as much time and energy as possible to serving Krishna and doing things for Him. This is surrender. We give up our material pursuits as much as we can and we endeavor for Krishna. This is surrender. And all this is going on the basis of associating with devotees, hearing from devotees. How nice is Krishna? And we become enthusiastic. Oh, Krishna is so nice. How wonderful. And we become less enthusiastic about material life in different ways in the association of devotees. And like this, one becomes more and more situated on the spiritual platform. Association with devotees and hearing from devotees and just watching devotees. And ultimately even just seeing devotees has a profound effect on the heart. You know what Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitanya Charitamrita? Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastre Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Koi. One must associate with devotees. One must associate with devotees. And all the scriptures say that Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha. If you associate with devotees, even momentarily, sarva siddhi hoy, all perfection can come. Let me tell you a little story about Srila Prabhupada. Do you like stories? Me too. I'm a big kid. I like stories too. Srila Prabhupada was flying in South America somewhere. He's on the airplane with a couple of devotees with him. One of them was Hari Sori Prabhu. You may have heard of him. He's written books about his association with Srila Prabhupada. So there they are on the airplane, and Prabhupada said to Hari Sori, "Do we have some prasadam?" And Hari Sori, the only prasadam they had was some puffed rice. Very simple. It's just extremely simple. just some puffed rice. And so Prabhupada said, all right, give me some. And so Prabhupada took a little puffed rice. And, you know, there's some the little pile of puffed rice. He took maybe half or some of it. And he said to Harisori, all right, you can take the rest. So Harisori went back to the next row or so, where there was one or two other devotees, and they sat down with this puffed rice, which was Srila Prabhupada's maha maha direct personal remnant. And they're just about to divide it up between them and really relish the nectar of Prabhupada's remnants, when one of the air stewardesses came walking by and saw what they were doing, about to deal with this prasadam. And she said, oh, that looks nice. And just stuck her hand into it and just grabbed some and just ate it right there in the aisle, in the midst of all the people. And she said, oh, that's really nice. What is it? She got quite excited. And then she became inspired. And she said, is that all you've got to eat? Can I get you something? And Harisori said, well, the thing is, we're all vegetarians, so, you know, we can't really. And she said, don't worry, I will go up to first class and get some fruit for you. So she went and got like a whole bowl of fruit and came back and said, here, take this. And they gave Prabhupada some and they had some. And then a couple of few minutes later, she came back and said, would you like something else? Do you want something to drink? And Harisori said, well, could we have some hot milk? And she said, no problem. I'll go to first class and get it. So she came back with like a liter and a half of milk, a whole jug of hot milk, and gave it, and Prabhupada had hot milk and all the devotees, and it was amazing. And she was really, and then she came back, anything else? She got inspired. So, and she ate more of the puffed rice too. So then, 10 years later, devotees were doing book distribution deep in the Amazon, way out in some remote area which is only accessible by boat. And so they are going door to door in this kind of very rustic village. And one of the devotees knocked on a door. And a lady opened the door and said, oh, you're a devotee. Come in. Devotee came in. And in this very simple village house, there were pictures of Krishna everywhere. You could not see the wall. There were just pictures of Krishna. And she had Gaunatai deities. And she was really a devotee, and the devotee said, wow, you're a devotee. How did you become a devotee? And she said, you know what happened? 10 years ago, I was working as an air stewardess on some aeroplane, and I saw Srila Prabhupada, and I got some puffed rice, his remnants. And it had such an impact on me. It just changed my life. So you see. And you know how the story came out? It's interesting. Harisori Prabhu was in Brazil. And he told the story up to the point that the lady's bringing the milk and everything, and just saying that, well, you know, just see how nice she got inspired by taking Prabhupada's remnants. And after the class, right at the end of the class, one devotee came up and said, you know what? I met that lady. And that's how the second part came out, about meeting her on book distribution. So association with devotees, even just a little association with devotees, it can have just incredible effect, very amazing effect of inspiring a person in Krishna consciousness on one hand, and helping them to become detached from material existence. Nice story. So, yeah, I was reading just recently from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam the story of when little Krishna, like preschool, maybe 2 or 3 years old, say 3 at the most, little Krishna was there looking out the window at home, and one lady came with fruit, big basket of fruit. You know that story. So lady came and set up her little thing there just opposite Krishna's house. And now she's calling out, come and get your fruit. Very nice fruit, fresh fruit. And Krishna, and she was saying, give me some grains, I'll give you some fruit. And little Krishna took a scoop, 2 handfuls of grains, and came out, little boy, in his little hands. And the grains are falling through his fingers. And when he got to her, there was only maybe half the grains left. And he said, take this and give me some fruit. And the lady, she saw how sweet Krishna was. And she just became completely captivated. Totally captivated. And she just gave Krishna fruit. And now he's holding the fruit. And then more fruit, so it's overflowing. And then he has to hold the fruit like that. She just gave him all the fruit. And Krishna went staggering in with all this fruit back into the house. And in that lady's basket, she'd given all the fruit. In that lady's basket, by Krishna's mercy, there's now a pile of jewels. Oh, valuable jewels and jewelry and necklaces and amazing. But you know what? You know what is not explained there in the Bhagavatam, but Srila Jiva Goswami explains, is that lady was so captivated, completely captivated by the beauty of Krishna, she didn't see the jewels. She didn't see them. And for just some minutes she just sat there thinking, what an incredible child. And then she thought, oh well, better go home. Picked up the basket, which is now full of jewels, but she still doesn't know. Put it on her head. And it's fairly heavy. There's, you know, a good few kilos of jewels and jewelry there. But still she didn't notice, because she was just completely mesmerized, enraptured by the beauty and sweetness of Krishna. And so she's walking home with the basket on her head, just thinking of Krishna, thinking of Krishna, thinking of Krishna. And she got home and put the basket down, and then she noticed the jewels. And she was a bit shocked. What happened? And momentarily she forgot about Krishna. And as she's looking at these jewels and forgetting about Krishna, then she felt, oh no, I've forgotten Krishna. And she had lost that taste she had had of complete attraction to Krishna, because she'd become a little distracted by the jewels. And she thought, so yeah, and she was regretting, what? These jewels? Who needs these jewels? I've got this beautiful young boy. He's better than the jewels. I'm going to go back. So she just poured out all the jewels, filled up her basket with fruit again, and went back again and set up her spot right outside across the road from Krishna's house. And so she's shouting and shouting. And again Krishna came out and the same thing happened. And Krishna just took all the fruit and kept it to give to all the other bridge buses. And Mother Yashoda came back and saw these piles of fruit. And she said, where did this come from? Krishna said, it was that Mataji, you know? That one. You know, that one. The Mataji with the fruit. I just traded some grains. And Mother Yashoda became a little disturbed. You gave away our grains? How do you know you were not cheated? Why are you so trusting? And Jiva Goswami says that Krishna replied, I do not know mistrust. So, yes. Krishna. That lady became extremely detached. She didn't make any effort. Just she became attracted to Krishna. And she became extremely detached and extremely Krishna conscious. So this is what we should do. We should try as much as possible to keep engaged in activities connected with Krishna, where we're thinking of Krishna personally, and we're doing things for Krishna, and thinking how to do the things for Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. You know, Prabhupada, one devotee was telling me recently, one devotee approached Prabhupada in America and said, Prabhupada, living in the city is so difficult and there's so many material attractions and it's so dirty and noisy and unpleasant and it's very difficult. The devotee said, I think I will go to the Himalayas. And Prabhupada was saying, no, you should preach. The city is good for preaching. And this is the movement of Lord Chaitanya. If you preach, then you can be fully Krishna conscious even in the city. And the devotee was saying, well, no, you know, I want to go to the Himalayas and there I'll chant very nicely. And Prabhupada said, no, don't do that. You must, if you want to help yourself, stay and preach. And Prabhupada said, I know, I already wasted 12 years living in Vrindavan before I came here. I already wasted 12 years. But the preaching, that is where the nectar is. So we should all try, you know, individually, collectively, see how we can present Krishna consciousness to the people here in PE and really become fully engaged in that. Another devotee was telling me another little story. I know some of you may have been to Canada, to Toronto. Some of you have been there. It's in our temple there. I was just there in July for the first time. They have this big temple. A big temple. It was a church. And it's actually on the main street of Toronto. It's called Yonge Street. So anyway, when they were just in the early stages of trying to get that building, that church, then Prabhupada was there, maybe in one of the other cities in Canada, and they told Prabhupada that, oh, you know, this building is available. It's big church. And now maybe we should buy it. And Prabhupada said, oh, I don't know. Big building, big headache. Prabhupada said, well, how much is it? The devotee said, $500,000. And Prabhupada said, $500,000. Oh no, big headache. How will we get the money? It'll be a big headache. Then the next day, so there's a little further discussion like that. And Prabhupada was just saying, no, no, big headache. The next day Prabhupada said to the devotee, that church in Toronto, it's quite a big building. Yes, Prabhupada. It's big, it's very big. Prabhupada said, it may be a good place for preaching. And the devotee said, yes, Prabhupada, but I think it'll be a big headache. You know, like, I have learned from you, Prabhupada. This is your mantra. I am making it mine. I think it'll be a big headache, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, no, we need that sort of headache. And Prabhupada said, tell me more about it. So the devotee described different features. And Prabhupada said, yes, I think we must get it. And the devotee said, but Prabhupada, it'll be a big headache. Where will we get the money? Prabhupada telephoned the BBT. How much money do you have available? $200,000. Send it immediately. And so Prabhupada was saying, yes, we want that. Some big headache, some intense situation. Not just lazing around, but some intense engagement in devotional service to really keep focused. To really keep focused in devotional service. So we here in PE, you know, I first came here. What was it? Maybe 82. Maybe 82. Where were you in 1982?
That's very, very young.
Are you well? Yeah, I think it was 82 I first came. And we see how much potential there is here. How much potential there is for spreading Krishna consciousness. How many nice devotees. It's amazing. We should just try in practical ways and relevant ways to see how to develop the Krishna consciousness movement. And in that way get the mercy. Sometimes you have to think in ways you haven't thought before. Yeah. Come up with some sort of creative ideas. Not just, you know, the same old things, just again. Albert Einstein gave a definition of insanity, which you may have heard. You know what his definition of insanity is? It's a really good one. I mean, it's so simple, you think it's too simple, but it's really good. Albert Einstein said, insanity means you keep doing the same things, but you think you're going to get different results. This is Albert Einstein's definition of insanity. So we, as aspiring devotees and aspiring servants of Lord Chaitanya, we should try and think of some things we haven't already done, you know, 10 times. Try and think of some new ideas how to present Krishna consciousness. Let me just tell you a very interesting idea I came across, well, actually about a year ago in Botswana, Gaborone. There, the devotees, every year, they have a cooking expo. Actually, they have it at the temple. There's a sort of thing you can do, you know, in a hall or something. And they publicize it widely. And then they cook all this nice prasadam, many varieties. And many people come and buy the prasadam. And the people like it so much. And they've done it now, I think it's like 3, 4, 5 times. And the people are asking, when's the next one? When's the next one? So we should try and think creatively how to spread Krishna consciousness. And you know, Albert Einstein, seeing we mentioned Albert Einstein, he was a big fan of Charlie Chaplin. And Prabhupada was something of a fan of Charlie Chaplin, you could say. Interesting. Great, great minds think alike. Well, to some degree. So Albert Einstein was a big fan of Charlie Chaplin. And one time, Einstein was invited to the premiere of the latest Charlie Chaplin movie. So he went. And Charlie Chaplin was there. And they met. And the people were applauding, and the two of them together. It was quite a big thing. And Charlie Chaplin said to Albert Einstein, he said, you know, people like me, they're attracted to me because they understand me. And they're attracted to you because they don't understand you. And Einstein said, yeah, you're right, actually. And he laughed. And he said to Charlie Chaplin, he says, what does it mean And Charlie Chaplin said, nothing. So, that's material life. Foolishness of material existence. So let's get together, try to spread Krishna consciousness, think creatively how to spread Krishna consciousness, and that way, by preaching and serving like that, we'll get a lot of mercy, we'll become detached from material existence and really get a taste for Krishna, really become inspired in Krishna's service. And one fine morning in the not too distant future, you will wake up and you will be in Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan Dham Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? I have a question. What's the next part of the program? Okay. When will it be ready? Any comment or question from you wonderful devotees of ISKCON PE? You know what Bhakti Churi Maharaj said on Friday night? We were doing a program together in the Malaysia temple. He asked the devotees, few hundred devotees, any questions? Nobody put their hand up. And Bhakti Churi Maharaj said, you know what it means. I think he said, you know what Prabhupada said it means, but was it? Or just what it means?
What Prabhupada said
it means, there are no questions. Either you know everything, or, then he said, I don't want to say. I think, well, you've all been devotees many years, so you probably do know everything. So it's okay. Oh, yes. Yes.
On the point of the reflected tree, then you're explaining that the reflection has no substance.
Yes.
So sometimes it's hard to understand for people, to explain to people, how there is no substance. Because in this world you can touch, you can enjoy, you can experience. Yeah. So how do you explain that idea?
Yes, well the thing is, of course, you can touch it, etc. But the point of the no substance is that it does not deliver what it seems to promise to deliver. Happiness, enjoyment, and all that. And indeed, in so many cases, it delivers something else. Difficulty and dissatisfaction and anxiety and like that. And we sort of alluded to that in the earlier part of the talk when we said, now you see in the reflection, you see a nice fruit. So now you pick it, and you don't get a fruit. You get a handful of water. You get, in other words, you get something else. You get something else. So people look, they expect. They look and they see, apparently, opportunities for great enjoyment even. And then, so they try to take the opportunities, but then they get something else. First thing, they don't get as much happiness as they felt they were going to get. And second thing is, they practically inevitably get many difficulties, many problems. I had an experience a few years ago now, maybe three years ago, in Radharadnath Temple in Chatsworth. We were going to a house program in the house of one of our supporters, the friends of our movement. So he came to pick us up in his brand new, he had just opened the box a couple of hours before, brand new, big BMW, the biggest one, the newest one. You know, what do they say? What do they call it? It's like a 785 CSIXGL. GLN, whatever. The whole thing across the whole back of the cap. And so he came to pick us up in this just brand new car. And you could see he was really pleased with his car. And so we got in the car. In the car park there on our grounds. And got in the car and then drive up, a little bit up, and then out onto the road. And it just came over the footpath to the edge of the road, and what should come past but a very ancient BMW, the big one. But, you know, like 20 years old. And it was just crawling along. It was really like an antique. Came chugging along, struggling along, and stalled right in front of us. And we had to get out and help him push the car out of the way and then get back in the new one, the big one, and carry on with our journey. And, you know, I didn't say anything to the man, but you could see his whole expression had changed, his whole mood had changed. Krishna had been kind enough to give him some realization. So yeah, the expectations, material life means a place where generally those optimistic expectations are not fulfilled. You may get a little pleasure, something, nothing that exciting, but you get a lot of difficulty. Yeah. Yeah. And oftentimes you get a lot more difficulty than whatever pleasure. So that's the idea. Material life. When I was young, men, and including me, it was very fashionable to have very short hair like this. It's very fashionable. Then it became fashionable to have long hair. Now it's fashionable again to have short hair. Material life. People don't really become satisfied, therefore they have to change for this, for that. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
I think, who will lead us?